How you doing, Ken?
Hey, how are you?
Great. Growing up, you had a big baseball card collection. Did you have a favorite?
Yeah, one. My dad.
Your dad, of course. Besides your dad, were there somebody else?
Nope.
All right.
Didn't know anybody else.
Which young outfielder do you see today most resembles your playing style?
McCutcheon,
Andrew McCutcheon. He's a good one. Here's another one. Who do you think is the best player in Major League Baseball right now? All around best player.
McCutcheon.
You guys buds? And looking back on your career, Ken Griffey Jr., what do you think will be remembered for far above all else?
Smile.
That's a good thing. I'm going to let you go with that. That smile.
All right.
Ken Griffey Jr., thanks for joining us on SportsCenter. Good luck the rest of the way in everything you do.
Thank you. All right, you take it easy.
From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Oh man, riveting stuff. Riveting stuff. That was, if you haven't seen that interview, when I saw that interview, I said, we have to play this on the show. That was Linda Cohn, who is a ESPN SportsCenter anchor. Ken Griffey Jr. was invited on SportsCenter yesterday to give his thoughts on, I really don't know why he was on the show, to be honest with you, but the interview was riveting stuff. I mean, as you just heard, one-word answers, really not involved at all. To Linda's credit, I thought Linda did a very, very good job handling herself and keeping her composure throughout that entire interview. Griffey is a baseball legend, which it really surprised me, how standoffish he was throughout the interview. And, just be honest here, in sports journalism, I mean, I've had my share of interviews, not that bad, but some pretty bad ones where it's just like you're giving energy, you're trying to ask the right questions, and your interviewee just isn't giving you anything. And it really surprised me. This is Ken Griffey Jr. we're talking about, a guy who has dealt with the media countless times. I mean, guys, this is a baseball legend here. I just think maybe he had done, just interviews throughout the day so many times that he maybe have just been exhausted and just kind of irritated. But whatever it was riveting TV, I tell you that. Linda Cohn, she was actually tweeted, a lot of people who saw the interview tweeted her and said, hey, I'll just read one of them from Bobby V. He says, great interview, Linda, on your part. On the other hand, Ken Griffey Jr. made that very awkward to watch. And then Linda responded by saying, is life really that bad for Ken Griffey Jr. right now? Smell the roses, Ken. Linda definitely, she was caught off guard with the whole thing. And, as you watched the interview, she embraced him to start it, saying she used to cover him when he was at Seattle. And it just went downhill from there. So, Griffey's stand-up guy, he posted an apology on his Instagram page and personally apologized to Cohn over the phone. He went on to say, via Instagram, I want to apologize to Linda for the way things went today. I was in the middle of a cough attack and felt a little ill and didn't want to walk off the set. Linda has always been professional to me and my family. I'm sorry. To ESPN SportsCenter's Linda Cohn. So there you go. And Linda went on to respond. Just got on the phone with Ken Griffey Jr. He apologized sincerely for how he came across. I accepted his apology. Gotta love that stuff, man. It just sometimes happens. Just have those athletes or have those moments where you're interviewing somebody and they just are not into it at all. That's journalism for you. Well, on today's Current Sports, we have a back show for you all. Again, boys basketball districts are in live and full effect as the finals are now set. District finals are now set the second round of districts took place yesterday. We'll list of 10 of the more notable games from our area, and you'll get to see who is moving on to the district finals. And also later on in the hour, You will possibly get to hear from, we're still getting confirmation here, but Rod Watts, he was the Lansing Eastern boys basketball coach. He should be joining me to talk about their win yesterday to move on to the district finals. They got a big win over Lansing Everett, a really, really close game. And also later on in the hour, we'll have Throwback Thursday for you. We'll talk a little MSU in Iowa as the Michigan State men's basketball team, they wrap up their home season tonight. At the Breslin, as everyone says bye to Keith Appling and Adrian Payne, Dan Chapman will also get honored. And, yeah, I mean, this could be the possibly last time we'll see, you know, guys like Gary Harris. Gary Harris, who I think is going to make that jump to the NBA. So, big night tonight. Big night tonight, especially for all those fans who are going to be out at the Breslin. I mean, the last time you'll get to see, you know, guys like Appling and Payne hit the floor in the green and white at the Breslin Center. So, big night for that. All right, well, let's dive right into it. Ladies and gents, here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this March 6th, 2014. Again, high school prep roundup, folks. The boys basketball district finals are set with the second round of districts concluding last night around the Mid-Michigan area. Just to list some of the teams that are still alive, some of the Mid-Michigan teams that are still alive. Holt, they got a big win over Richland, Gull Lake. Didn't even make it close. 81-68 win for Matt Essel and the Holt Rams. Mason, they top Grand Ledge 62-60. Close one there. Eastern beats Lansing Everett 45-42. Okemos, they top Hazlitt 59-50. So Jeff Wanch, and we had on the show yesterday, he will meet up with Rod Watts in the district finals. Pawamu Westphalia, they top Bath 63-34. Langsburg beats Carson City Crystal 45-42. St. John's, they top Flushing 44-41. Portland beat Hastings 49-44. Lansing Catholic tops Fowlerville 53-37. That's a blowout there. And Lansing Christian, they beat Weberville 61-39. So again, the district finals, they will take place tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, ladies and gents, an exciting time. And the girls regional finals for girls high school hoops, those games will take place tonight. So a busy, busy time of the year. Gotta love it, though. It's March Madness, baby. All right. Also, MSU and Iowa, the Michigan State men's basketball team, they look to get back on track after losing two straight games to Michigan and Illinois as they take on Iowa at home tonight for their final regular season home game, a 9 p.m. tip time. After the game, again, seniors Keith Appling, Adrian Payne, and Dan Chapman will be honored. The game will be seen on ESPN. All right, the Detroit Pistons, they couldn't seem to ride momentum of that New York Knicks win on Monday, falling to the Chicago Bulls last night, 105-94, your final of that one. Joakim Noah was a man last night. 10 points, 11 rebounds, 11 assists. My goodness, triple-double for him. Taj Gibson was also big for the Bulls with 22 points. And DJ Augustine, he threw up 26 and 6 assists. Now, the lowly Pistons get ready for Minnesota on the road tomorrow night. And the Red Wings, they get back in action tonight and will do so by also honoring a wing legend. Now, with David Lugwin possibly making his team debut, the Red Wings will first raise Nicholas Lidstrom's number 5 to the rafters before attempting to beat the Colorado Avalanche for a 5th straight meeting. Now, Detroit is tied with Washington with 68 points, one behind Columbus for the final playoff position in the crowded Eastern Conference. In an effort to return to the postseason for a 23rd straight time, the Wings acquired Lugwin from Nashville in exchange for forwards Patrick Eves and Cali Jurkšek and a conditional draft pick ahead of Wednesday's trade deadline. Now, Lugwin, a native of Detroit, was the Predators' leader with 40 points, getting 3 all assists in his last two meetings with Colorado. And Duke's 82-72 loss at Wake Forest has been overshadowed by concerns for Blue Devils head coach Mike Krzyzewski's health. Now, after the Hall of Famer took a knee on the sidelines while feeling dizzy and lightheaded, Coach K did not speak to the media after the game and took precautionary tests at the Duke Medical Center. Luckily, it seems to have been an isolated incident. A statement from the school read, quote, "His symptoms and condition have improved considerably, and Coach K was sent home during the early morning hours on Thursday. Now, the university expects him to make a full recovery. An interesting news coming from Greg Popovich, one of the NBA's top coaches. He revealed an interesting coaching strategy for timeout huddles. You know what it is? Absolutely nothing. This is what he said, quote, "Sometimes in timeouts, I'll say, guys, I've got nothing for you. What do you want me to do? We just turned it over six times. Everybody's holding the ball. What else do you want me to do here? Figure it out." That's coming directly from Spurs head coach Greg Popovich. He also went on to say, "I think competitive character, people don't want to be manipulated constantly to do what one individual wants them to do. It's a great feeling when players get together and do things as a group. Whatever can be done to empower those people." Now, judging by his track record, perhaps less really is more on the sidelines. You know what? Tom Izzo does that sometimes, too. I mean, sometimes he'll come to the sidelines. I mean, I don't think he'll do it, you know, as bluntly as Pop would do it. But, I mean, Tom Izzo loves when his players take control and says, "Hey, what in the world are we doing here?" So it's an interesting coaching strategy. I definitely have mad respect for it. I like that. All right, the NCAA Football Rules Committee has decided to table the proposed 10-second rule intended to slow down offenses. Now, the proposal, which received heavy criticism from coaches across the country, would prevent teams from snapping the ball in the first 10 seconds of the 40-second play clock. Now, in a survey of coaches, 73% were against the rule change. Others claim player safety concerns, which was shut down by colleagues around the nation. An interesting proposal there, but they have decided to table it, so it looks like the 10-second rule, at least for now, has been withdrawn from being ruled upon. So there you have that. And also in this whole Oscar Pistorius, interesting story with Oscar Pistorius, of course, one of the competitors in the Summer Olympics, in a crazy incident in which he shot his girlfriend, which eventually led to her death. A witness in the Pistorius trial testified that the Olympic athlete knelt over slain girlfriend Reva Steenkamp in the aftermath of her shooting. Now, the witness went on to say this, quote, "I went near her. As I bent down, I also noticed a man on the left kneeling by her side." Now, again, she goes on to say, "He had his left hand on her right groin and his right hand, the second and third fingers in her mouth. I remember the first thing he said when I got there was, 'I shot her. I thought she was a burglar. I shot her.' She had no pulse in the neck. She had no peripheral pulse. She had no breathing movements that she made. And Oscar was crying all the time. He was praying to God, please let her live." Wow, riveting stuff. Again, that the Oscar Pistorius trial is going on right now in South Africa. And again, that was a witness account of the, what ensued that night. And witness Oscar actually praying to God to please let her live. Oh, man, riveting stuff there. Okay, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, you can call in right now, 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527, and share what's on your mind. You also know that you can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and also tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. All right, well, let's get to our guest for today's show. With it being the madness of March, we've invited a few local coaches from around the area to talk about the high school basketball postseason, which is right in the thick of things right now, ladies and gents, for both the boys and the girls. Now, the girls' regional finals will be taking place tonight, while for the boys, they will wrap up district finals tomorrow. And today, we have a coach joining us who is still alive after a very, very close game with Lansing Everett yesterday. He is the head boys basketball coach over at Lansing Eastern High School, Coach Rod Watts. Welcome to Current Sports. How you doing, Rod?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself, Al?
Very, very well. Well, thanks for joining me today. Now, Rod, going back to last night, you guys squeaked out of the district opener. Well, earlier this week, I should say, you guys squeaked out of the district opener with a 2-point win over Lansing Waverly. And then yesterday, you all beat Everett by 3 points. Two very, very close games. How have you all been able to dodge these very close bullets, Rod?
Well, you know, the guys have, you know, it's playoff time. You know, you win or you go home. And so our goal is to win so we can advance to the next level. And, you know, the guys have shown a lot of resolve and a lot of resilience. And, you know, we've been through a lot of tough games, and our conference helps us out. So when it comes to the tournament time, you know, I think we're pretty much battle-tested.
Yeah, without a doubt. That CAAC Blue is certainly a grind-out type of conference. I mean, it's always competitive in any game. Now, I got to ask you, Rod, what have you learned about your team, especially now in the districts? I mean, one and done, two very close games. What have you learned about your team in these grind-out moments?
Well, that anybody can put the team on their shoulders and step up and carry the load. I know that, you know, our point guard, though he's you know, he's under 6 foot. He's like 5'8", but sometimes he plays like he's 6'8". And that's EJ Jackson. He's done a great job in leading the team. He's a floor general out there, and our big guy in the middle, DeQuandre Detman, we call him Dre, and he's done a great job on the inside. And you know, he's a walking double-double. You know, usually 20 and 12. Somewhere in that area every night. So, you know, I've learned that these guys, when the chips are down, that they tend to come through for us.
Yeah, and you talk about Dre Dentman. I mean, it seems like every Lansing Eastern game I've been to this year so far, Rod, I mean, it seems as though he's just, you know, exploding the roof off the building with just dunks left and right. He's so athletic. Is he one of the most athletic guys you've coached, Rod?
Yeah, he is one of the most athletic. I've had a few. Frederick Booman Edmond, who plays out for College Southern Idaho and in Idaho. He's probably the most athletic, but Dre is not far behind him.
Yeah, without a doubt. Now, I got to ask, you know, down the stretch, I mean, close games for you, right? I mean, what in the world do you say to your team to try to keep them focused down the stretch, or is it pretty easy with this team?
Well, you know, you just have to, with these group of guys that I have here, you just have to point out the things that they need to be done, you know, point out the task at hand. And, you know, once you point the task out, these guys are usually pretty good. At least they have shown to be pretty good down the stretch here to come through. They do their assignment, and, you know, once they lock in, listen to what they have to do. As you can see, we've become successful and been able to advance.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking with the head boys basketball coach over at Lansing Eastern, Coach Rod Watts. Now, Rod, you all are still alive. You know, looking at last night's game, I mean, it had to mean a bit more considering you guys got the chance to knock off, you know, a local rival in Everett, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's always good to play the you know, your crosstown rival, you know, whether it's you know, Eastern Everett, Eastern Sexton, Sexton Everett. I mean, we're all close as far as the coaches and the players are concerned, and we want to knock each other off. But you know, because there's bragging rights there throughout the city that you have in the off season, so that's important. But then on the other hand, as we've always done in the past, you know, I was part of the coaching staff when Everett won the state championship in 2004 with Coach Jones. And, you know, one thing we've always done is support each other. You know, I know we had the support of Sexton and Eastern when Everett won, and when Coach Valentine was going through his run, he had our support over at Eastern as well as the guys at Everett. And, you know, that's just what we do. So, you know, we're expecting the city of Lansing to, you know, hop on board and support us and help push us all the way through.
So you all, I mean, as far as your relationship goes with the other, you know, Lansing boys basketball coaches, you all are pretty close then, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, Coach Banks over at Sexton, he was on my staff before he got the Sexton job. And, and even before that, you know, I was an assistant coach at East Lansing, and Ron was a great basketball standout at Sexton at the time, as was Desmond, a standout ball player over at Everett. And so now these guys have come back to the community and they're helping out. And again, any advice or any wisdom that I can share with those guys, we're always brainstorming.
I want to, hit on that just now. I mean, I'm sure they probably, come to you and asked advice from you, Rod. But, I mean, you're a pretty competitive guy, it seems like. You can't give them everything, can you?
No, I can't give them everything, but they aren't giving me everything either. Both of them have had great basketball careers, Desmond going the furthest in playing professionally, playing in the NBA and playing a lot of years overseas. And so, he's a great person to lean on. We just support each other. We're all guys that are from Lansing. And so, we want to win the game against each other. But at the end of the day, we're going to push the next guy who advances.
Rod, I've always wondered, when I go out to a game and cover you guys, I mean, we go into the post game interview and every coach around this area is so classy. I mean, you give hats off to the other team if you win or lose. But I always wonder, the barbershop talk. I mean, you just said it. You're very close with other Lansing coaches from around the area. So when the cameras are off, when the media's not there, when you see each other in just social environments, there's got to be some trash talking that goes on between you guys depending on what happened in the season, right?
No, in fact, we probably share more stories. At least not with me. I'm a little bit older than Ferg and Banks, but right. We just share stories with each other. Some of the situations that we've gone across, and you mentioned the other coaches in the conference, and. I really like our conference. I think we got some great coaches. And again, that same support that I was talking about within us Lansing coaches, we do the same thing in the conference. I know a couple of years when we faced off with Okemos for the district championship, myself and Coach Stoltz, mm-hmm. We agreed to help each other, whichever one advanced. So whatever notes I had, I would pass on to him. About the team and the regional that we will be playing, and vice versa. And so, mm-hmm. same thing with these guys here. And one thing that I like about this group of guys is we don't, at least none of the guys that I know share scouting reports about our conference. I'm all about Lansing. I'm all about the conference. Mm-hmm. And so, if I have a friend of mine in Detroit that wants to know something about one of the guys in our conference, well, I can't.
That's cheating, man. Can't do that.
Yeah, my lips are sealed, because I gotta push and promote our conference,
Right, gotta love that, man. Yeah, I tell you, I love the CAAC Blue. I love watching every single team in the CAAC Blue compete. Now, I gotta ask you, around this time, Rod, what's the most nerve-wracking part of this whole one-and-done postseason thing?
The most nerve-wracking thing is which kid is going to show up. We're coaching high school kids, and as much as we'd like for them to know everything about the game, they don't. And so, a lot of times they have outside influences or distractions, whether it be their girlfriends or whether it be tests that they've got to be ready for or not sure they did well on or whether it be their uncle, aunt, mom, dad, brother, sister that think that they are the best thing since the wheel and they aren't getting enough touches,
so
you just don't know what kid is going to show up and you don't know what they're going through. And if you've got kids that are first time around playing at this level with so much on the line, That person may not know what to expect. So the kids are probably the most nerve-wracking thing, not knowing which kid is going to show up.
You know what, Coach? I've talked to a lot of coaches around the area, and, you know, even my high school basketball coach, you know, back in Dearborn Heights, Michigan. And, you know, you deal with – it seems as though I feel like every coach has dealt with this, but, you know, you bring up the parents. It's interesting you bring it up. You bring up the parents who feel as though, like, their kid is the best thing since, you know, since sliced bread. You know what I mean? And they feel as though their kid should be getting more touches, should be getting more playing time. I'm sure you've dealt with that. How do you go about – you know, handling that along with trying to manage your team? I mean, how do you handle all that as a coach, right?
Well, it gets to be tough, but, you know, I learned a lot from Chris Ferguson and Johnny Jones. You know, you just have to set your ground rules early. And one of the things that I stress at my parent meeting is that if they have an issue, they need to talk with their child. Because at the end of the day, the kids know where they are in the, I guess, for lack of a better term, pecking order. Mm-hmm. Or they know what's going on in practice, whereas the parents don't. You know, and, you know, parents, it's love. And we all know love is blind. And sometimes, or most time, parents only see the good that their kid does. And what they see is, okay, he's taking him out for one mistake, but they don't know that there's been two or three other mistakes that have taken place, and, you know, we need to get him out before more damage is done. And but, you know, the biggest thing is we try and communicate with the kids and have the kids communicate with the parents and, you know, to let the parents know that we have your kids' best interest at heart. And but even prior to that, before that, we have the team's best interest at heart.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes your kid may start the game and may not finish the game because of a certain group that we have in there. You know, we've got some momentum with this group of guys, and so, you know, we're going to ride this group of guys out or whatever.
Right, right. I always say at the end of the day, the coach has a job to do. Definitely agree with that, Rod. All right, now looking at, you know, the district final matchup, we had actually Coach Wanch on here yesterday to talk about, you know, the game, you know, in preparation for districts. He was on the show yesterday to talk about, you know, how he goes about it. Now, you all have split the season series between you and Okemos. The last meeting between you guys was in favor of the Chiefs. What makes that team so dangerous, Rod?
Oh, Smith. Smith on the inside, he's you know, he's quite deceptive, you know.
Edward Smith, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yep, he's you know, 6'4", I think he might even be 6'5", could be 6'6" with his high top there.
I know, right? The kid didn't play high top, right?
Right, yeah. But you know, he's tough and he's deceptive, you know. Some people, you know, somebody might look at him and when you watch him play, you don't see the damage that he's doing. And then when you look in the box scores, you're like, whoa, he went for 28.
Right.
I mean, he's just a silent assassin, and he has a just a relentless work ethic that, you know, I really like his game. And he's somebody that that is tough. I mean, I think he's gotten 20-plus points on us both games, and so – you know, he's going to be tough. They've got a great shooters. They have great shooters out there as well. So it's just Okemos Eastern, and again, from the Paul Cook and Denny Stoltz days, this has always been a big, big rival, big game. So
yeah,
tomorrow night shouldn't be any different.
I'm sure the gym will be packed for that one. Now I got to ask you, Rod, is the season a disappointment if you all don't come out with a district championship?
Yeah, it'd definitely be a disappointment. I mean, and I think it'd be a disappointment for anybody because everybody, I think most everybody's, the most common goals across the state as far as high school basketball is concerned is you want to win your conference and then you want to win the districts and move on from there. So, yeah, we didn't meet our conference goal, and so now we're in position to win the district. So, you know, we're trying to meet that goal. So, yeah, it would be a disappointment if we didn't reach it.
Now, Rod, I talked to Jeff yesterday, and, you know, I wanted to ask him about, you know, how he goes about, you know, before his team steps out on the hardwood, what does he tell his team? And he told me flat out, he's not a, you know, a Denzel Washington, remember the Titans type of speech guy before a game. What type of guy are you? What would be the message before that game? Do you have a planned out speech you're going to give to your guys before tomorrow?
You know what? No, I don't have anything planned. I don't write it out. I don't rehearse it. It's just it just depends upon what the mood is in the locker room as I'm watching the guys get prepared.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't seem like they're focused, you know, they're going to get a pregame speech that's going to get them tuned in. If they look like they're focused and they're jacked to the ceiling, then I just build off of that. So that speech might not be as fiery. It's just going to be something that just goes with the flow of what the locker room is at that time.
Right. I wish I was a fly on the wall for that one tomorrow, I tell you. All right, Coach, before I let you go, Rod, yesterday we had an interesting conversation. We call it our Barbershop Wednesday segment. Each and every Wednesday, we go at it and debate about a certain topic. And you know what? Yesterday, Matt and I, my production assistant, and the two coaches we had on, we had Steve Finnemore from East Lansing High School and also Jeff Wancho on as well, to weigh in on this. And before I let you go, Rod, I want you to weigh on it. I want to ask you, if you could try and place yourself in the shoes of a college basketball coach, what would you prefer? Going after and getting, you know, the biggest recruits in the nation who are most likely going to go one and done, like a John Calipari type of program, or recruiting kids the Izzo way who are going to stay for 4 years. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I think you have to recruit both of them. You try and recruit the best kid for your program. You know, the one and done, you're rebuilding year after year after year. You know, every year you're rebuilding. And the 4 year kid, you know, you got a lot more stability. And
right.
You know, I guess if I had to choose one or the other, I would say the kid that's going to be there for 3 to 4 years.
Gotcha. You're going for the longevity then.
Absolutely.
There you have it. All right, head boys basketball coach of Lansing Eastern, Coach Rod Watts. They will take on Okemos High School tomorrow for the district championship. Rod, what time is that game and where?
That game is going to be at East Lansing, and tip-off is at 7 o'clock.
There you have it. Well, I wish you definitely good luck, Rod. Good luck on that game. It should be a good one.
Hey, Al, I really appreciate it. Thank you.
No problem. There you have it again. That's Coach Rod Watts of Lansing Eastern. Again, they take on Okemos High School for the district championship. I mean, oh, man, I can't wait. I'm going to definitely pop in and see that game. It should be a good one, to say the least. Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, when we come back, we'll give you a preview of Michigan State and Iowa as they tip off tonight at 9 p.m. It's senior night, the final time that we will see Appling and Payne and possibly Gary Harris, too. I think Gary Harris is leaving after this year, but possibly the last time we'll see a plethora of those in the green and white for Tom Izzo's team. Who will be playing at the Breslin Center. We'll give you a preview of that game. We'll also talk a little Isaiah Thomas, possibly to the Pistons. Yeah, I kid you not, folks. I kid you not. And also Throwback Thursday. All of that and so much more coming right back. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports returns in just a sec. Any way you want it, that's the way you need it. Any way you want it. Oh, man, those are some throwback joints right there, Aaron. Oh, my goodness. As always, it's Throwback Thursday each and every Thursday here on Current Sports. We'll get to what happened on this Thursday in sports history in just a sec. But before that, Matt Luckey now joins me to talk a little Michigan State men's basketball as they will be taking on Iowa tonight at 9 p.m. at the Breslin Center, the final regular season home game. It's senior night, so guys like Heath Appling, Adrian Payne, and also shout out, Dan Chapman. He may not get a lot of playing time, but Dan has been here for quite a long time. And also possibly the last time we may see Gary Harris as well. So a big night for Spartan Hoops as Michigan State. They try to shake off two losses, one to Michigan and Illinois, and they try to get back on track. We'll give you a quick preview right now. Well, Matt, this is a big game for the Spartans. Not only, I mean, it's going to be high emotion, without a doubt. Not only is it senior night, but, I mean, this is a team who has now lost two straight and has not looked good in either one of those games against Michigan and Illinois. And you know what? They have, you know, they have a huge chink in the armor now because teams know that the Spartans can be beat at home. I mean, it's a hostile environment, whoever comes into the Breslin Center. But, I mean, they started the season undefeated at home for about 2.5 months. And then we saw, you know, the wheels sort of fall off for this team a little bit. Again, it's added incentive and emotion due to senior night. If they do win, it's also, there are some stakes here due to the fact that if they do win, they get a bye in the first round of the Big Ten tournament, which starts next week as well. Now, Iowa, if you look at Iowa, I think they do a great, if there's, you know, Iowa has had his ups and downs this season too. The last time these two met, Michigan State pulled out the win. But Iowa, if they do anything well, I think they do a very, very good job on the offensive boards. They get second chance opportunities. What they do with those second chance opportunities has not boded well in many games throughout this season. But I think Michigan State definitely has to play well on the inside. Guys like Adrian Payne, guys like Brandon Dawson, maybe Costello who comes in for Payne. I mean, the guys down low have to play big. Key in on guys like Adam Woodbury, Basabi, Gabe Osalani. Those guys have been relatively consistent on the offensive board position. And MSU just have to, I mean, they just have to get back to what they were doing at the beginning of this season. Now, that's easier said than done, as we've seen these past two games. But when they get in transition, when they attack the basket, that's when they're most successful. I just think they're falling in love with the jump shot way too much. And I want to see them get back to the basics, Matt.
I do too. And I think more than anything, I just want to see them start attacking again. Mm-hmm. Because it seems like they've, like you said, they kind of have fallen in love with the jump shot. And I think tonight is a great night to get out and run because Iowa is much more offensive minded than they are defensive. So I think, after that game against Illinois where they just looked completely out of sorts, I think it's going to be important for them to get into an offensive rhythm. And I think, obviously that starts, everything in basketball starts on the defensive end. So if they play tough D, if they try and limit Iowa's offensive efficiency, because Iowa is a good, efficient team offensively, if they can limit them, maybe get some missed shots, some long rebounds, and start to run, force a few turnovers, if they can get running, get the energy level up, I think it bodes well for them.
Yeah.
Now, you talked about the, home court advantage playing at the Brez. This year, it really hasn't been that big of an advantage.
Mm-hmm. It started off very, very well, and then again, I mean, we just saw MSU. I mean, the Izzone didn't even matter.
And even in wins early in the season, they never looked quite comfortable in front of the home crowd. And I think there were quotes in the middle of the year that kind of, owned up to that, they feel more pressure at home because, the crowd wants them to do things, and they were almost more comfortable on the road because it was them against the world.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing about this game is it's spring break. So, the students aren't going to be there in full force like they usually are. So maybe it'll be more like a road game or even a neutral site game. I know, obviously, the crowd's still going to be
pro-Michigan
State.
They'll still be there, green, white, yeah.
But they might not be as raucous or as loud as they normally are.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we'll see. I mean, everything really just boils down to if they can get on the same page again. Because, having to fold in all these players coming back from injury and Dawson being the latest in the long line of the laundry list of injuries this season. They're all healthy, relatively healthy, at least in Keith Appling's case. Getting them on the same page is extremely important. Even if they lose, if they just look good, if they look like a team again, I think I will not be, jumping off a cliff pushing the panic button just yet. I think there's still time, but there's not a lot of time. They got to start building some momentum for the tournament because you don't want to go into the postseason on a four-game losing streak.
No,
and if
not
they
at
don't
all.
Start playing better, that's what they're going to be staring at in the Big Ten tournament.
Right, exactly. And I always say it comes down because we've seen the way they come out the gates, the way they start games just sets the tone for the rest of the game. And we've seen in these losses, in these back-to-back losses, Michigan State has just come out with a lack of energy, a lack of focus, a lack of incentive. And that has been really mind-blowing to me. And, you know, it's something, you know, to harp on last year a little bit, focus was a little bit of an issue last year, too. In games that they would lose throughout the regular season, I remember going to the locker room and asking everybody in the locker room that interviewed, is there a lack of focus on this team right now? And I feel as though that's the case right now as well. Now, granted, it is hard when you have all of these injuries on the team to try and fold them in, as you said, and develop that chemistry all over again. It's kind of like you're starting back at the grassroots of when this team started the season. But, again, focus, there's no excuse for that. If you come out the game and the way you approach it mentally, if you're locked in, there's no excuse for that. And we've just seen Michigan State not be on the same page in that regard. I do. If it's a time they need to click, it's for me. I say it's panic time to get things together, and I think this is that game to do it because you only got two games left in the regular season here. This is your final home court advantage game where you're at home to try and get back on the same page, and you know you ride. It's all about momentum when you talk about March, and you ride this momentum into the Big Ten tournament. However you play there, rise momentum into the NCAA tournament. So now it's getting it done. It's just about getting the job done, and there are no games off anymore here. And, you know, when you talk about this team, this season, the way it ends, however it ends, if they go out in the first round of the NCAA tournament, let's say if they lose these next two games, whatever happens, the legacy of the – I always think about the legacy. When you talk about, you know, seniors like Keith Appling and Adrian Payne and even Harris. Well, I think Harris is going to go after this season. I don't see any point in him staying. I think he's NBA ready. We've seen multiple times throughout this year. Gary Harris, I mean, granted, he's had some slumps here and there. But I think Gary Harris right now is NBA ready, without a doubt. And you talk about the legacy of those three guys particularly – it all depends on how they finish out this season. And those three, if they come out with a, you know, just not looking like themselves, with a lack of just energy and want, then I will have a huge problem because I think that their legacy will be tarnished depending on how this season ends.
I agree. And you know, they would become that first senior class to not make a Final Four under Tom Izzo. They
exactly.
Definitely know about that. It's definitely in the back of their minds. I mean, it comes up every, you know, it's happened in 2009 with Travis Walton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't want to be that guy. It happened in 2005 when all we heard about all season was that, you know, Chris Hill and Kelvin Torbert and Alan Anderson couldn't do it. They couldn't get it done. What happened to Michigan State? They stumble into the tournament as a 5 seed and then go to the Final Four, and their mm-hmm. legacy's totally changed. So
right.
There's still time to kind of rewrite, you know, the book on Appling, on
right.
Payne, on Chapman to an extent. There's still time.
Chapman, yeah, throw Chapman.
You know,
in there, right.
It's not over yet. I mean, there's still a lot of basketball left to be played and a lot of important basketball to be played.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the beauty of college basketball. Things are decided on the court in the postseason. It's not like they're not going to get voted in to the national championship game or anything. They're going to have to earn their way there just like everybody else.
Right, I agree.
And you know, to go to the focus this season, there's no excuse to lose at home to Nebraska. There's no excuse to lose at home to Illinois.
Not at all.
I mean, who would have thought at the beginning of the year that this team would be fighting for a bye in the Big Ten tournament?
Fighting for a bye. Mm-hmm. We thought that was a lock.
That's unbelievable.
Crazy, right?
Yeah. It is.
I mean, I said the same thing. I mean, and like I said, the way they just approach games, they have this just nonchalant, yeah, we're playing, going through the motions type of play. And, I mean, you can't have that. It's March now. You gotta turn it up a level. And, I don't know, we'll see. This game sets the tone, though. This game will set a tone on how, you know, the momentum, how that momentum rides into the rest of this postseason. So we will see. And I think we have chosen the winner. We have made our picks on this game. Did we choose a spread at all, just to remind myself?
We both took MSU. You took them by 3. I took them by 2.
So we do think it will be a very, very close game at the present.
Iowa plays them tough.
They do. Iowa's a very, very good team, man. And we all know there's no days off in the Big Ten at all. So there you have that. You know, something we didn't get to yesterday, Matt, Michigan. They won the outright Big Ten championship 2 days ago with a convincing victory over Illinois. My goodness. And, you know, you got to give hats off to them. It's one of those games. I think we both said it was going to be close. I said it's going to be a dogfight. And then in the first half, what does Michigan throw up, like 56 points, something like that? In the previous four games, an opponent hadn't even cracked 50 for the previous four games, and Michigan does it in one half.
Yeah, I mean, so much for that.
Yeah, that goes completely out the window. One moment that really cracked me up was, and you probably saw this, that near the end of the first half, the clock is winding down, and you can hear the Illinois fans chanting, USA. The USA chant is a chant that you'll hear throughout the Big Ten because of Nick Stauskas, who is from Canada. Whenever he has the ball, they chant USA. And they were chanting it before the ball was inbounded. Clock is winding down. The ball goes to Nick Stauskas. He hits a crazy buzzer-beating three from like 4 or 5 feet from the three-point land, and he looks at the entire student section and says, yeah, USA that, and then walks out. Oh, it's great. It's good stuff, man. I love the Michigan team. They are a very, very good team. Their chemistry is something that really stands out to me. And I think that they're starting, looking at that Illinois game, Matt, something that really stood out to me too, is that I think they're gradually getting better defensively. And that's something, I don't know now, granted, I would like to see them play better competition against it, but I think gradually this team is starting to get it defensively. Rotations were there. They're not allowing anybody to bully them down low. If they do, double teams are coming, and the rotation is very fluid throughout that. They're starting to get it defensively, I think, and offensively, they just shoot the ball incredibly. I mean, Nick Stauskas, he shot through the – I mean, they matched the school record for most threes in a game. I think it was 16 three-pointers, I think, that night. Unbelievable. I mean, Zach Irvin caught fire. Spike Aubrey gave you some shots from deep. Nick Stauskas, of course. I mean, he was hitting everything. Glenn Robinson III, I mean, he did what he did in transition with his athletic, crazy dunks left and right. I mean, his team is just clicking right now, and they're clicking at the right time.
They really are. And, I mean, to go in and beat Illinois that badly at home at, a relatively hot Illinois team. I mean, this is the best they had looked all season for the Illini. And they just get rained on with threes. It was reminiscent of the MSU-Purdue game, where it's just like, when one team can't miss, it's tough to beat them. I mean,
right.
I mean, Nick Stauskas said, I think, 7 threes.
Unbelievable. I mean, he couldn't miss. I mean, it was like
like he took 15. He took, I think he was 7 of 9 or something, which is just ridiculous. So when Michigan is hitting shots, they're darn near impossible to beat. It's going to be interesting because there's going to be a game in the tournament. Mm-hmm. Where they're not hitting.
Right. I mean,
it's going to happen.
You live by the jump shot, you die by the jump shot. And that's something that's what I've harped on all year for Michigan, and they have not proved me right at all. I mean, they've just gone out every game and been consistent with their shooting, which is tough to do, especially when you're playing in arguably the best conference in the Big Ten in the nation. I mean, it's crazy. And I think Nistauskas, not only is he a great shooter, I think he's doing a great job being a facilitator when need be as well. I mean, when guys are honing in on him, he's finding open pockets in the seam, and guys are making shots for him too. So, and John Beilein with this Big Ten championship now, he's definitely a candidate for Coach of the Year, without a doubt. I think he could win the whole thing, if you ask me.
National or conference?
National. National Coach of the Year candidate. I mean, considering what this team lost, Matt, last year, when you lose a guy and Trey Burke, who was the National Player of the Year, you lose – Mitch McGeary, he's out for the season. You know, Tim Hardaway Jr. goes to the NBA. I mean, this team lost a lot. And there were many doubters out there that said Michigan won't even be in the thick of things, you know, when it comes down to – I said it. They won't even be in the thick of things when we talk about the Big Ten. And they proved everybody wrong and done it. So, definitely.
They did. The only guy I would say – I mean, Greg Marshall at Wichita State.
Oh, he's great. Of course, 31-0. I mean,
that's
he's
tough.
Definitely a candidate.
That's
but,
tough.
Yeah, I mean, I just said John Beilein deserves to be in that conversation.
Totally, he's definitely in the conversation. He's going to win the conference's Coach of the Year.
Right.
I think the only guy who could even be close is Nebraska's coach, because Nebraska being on the bubble even.
Yeah, exactly.
It's crazy.
Crazy, right? I couldn't believe that. I can't believe what they've been able to produce throughout the season. So there you have that. All right, let's hit the break, Aaron. When we come back, it's Thursday, so that means Throwback Thursday, when we take a look at what happened on this day in sports history. This Thursday, you don't want to miss that. We'll be right back. Yeah, baby. We're jamming each and every Thursday to throwback music. Shout out to Aaron, man. He's always cutting up some nice tracks that bring back some memories. All right, because it's Throwback Thursday. We look at, you know, sports history. But before we get to Matt, as you run down some of the biggest sports stories on this Thursday in sports history, we've got a caller, Mike from Saginaw. How you doing, Mike?
How you doing there, Al? Let me correct you this on this one-and-done rule. What happened is majority the people who going out college, they don't want to do college work. I mean, if they – or they can't do college – or they have no interest in college work. If would you rather have
as
them –
as far as the academics go.
Academics go. Mm-hmm. Would you rather have them being there, being forced against something they don't want to do, or to be able to have a system where they can be able to go to something else where they don't have to do college work? You know what? I think college basketball – is better off for this because you know why? Because they got the ones who are willing to be going to college so they can be able to do college work because that's what college is training you for, to go out into the world and be able to work in the workplace. Now, the biggest downside to that is you're going to be around men instead of being around people your own age, and that's a big downer because the parents is not there for you anymore. It's because it's like, sometimes I believe, too, that the parents are pushing these kids to leave as quickly as possible.
Right. You know, well, thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. But, you know, Mike, I have to, if I follow what Mike was, his point was that he was trying to make in that these college kids who come in, who are these top recruits, the ones who do go one and done, don't want to do the work, the academic work, and don't want to stay around for 4 years and have to be forced to hit the books. To me, that's just plain laziness. When you come to college, you're a student-athlete. Student-athlete. I don't care if you're, you know, the top recruit in the nation and you can, you know, I don't care how good of a player you are. When you come, college is college at the end of the day. I think sports have become such this entrepreneurial business that is, you know, head above heels. You know, it was one of the most important aspects to Division I colleges now because sports are bringing a lot of money. Let's be honest here. And, you know, when you talk about universities, they flush in a lot of money to athletics because it's a constant cycle. When it comes to, you know, what Mike's point he's trying to make is the reason why they leave is to go and make the quick money in the NBA and not have to stick around and be forced to sit in the classroom all day for 4 years. At the end of the day, man, you got to have a plan B. My mom always told me, no matter what you do in life, you got to have a plan B, and no matter what you do. And that's why you see, I admire guys like, I believe it was the one that really stands out to me, a guy who was really highly touted who went on to the NBA, Vince Carter. I mean, I remember Vince Carter going to the NBA and making sure that he went back and got his degree in something just in case something would have happened to him injury-wise in the NBA. So at the end of the day, it just comes down to laziness, and college makes you a man. It makes you, you know, you go to class and handle your business at the same time, do what you got to do on the court. That's a part of life. That's a part of responsibility. That's why I think, you know, it's great for those who stick around for 4 years because you learn so much more than the X's and O's just on that hardwood.
Right. I mean, it's not just, you know, and the academics are important, but the one and done's, I mean, they might not want to do the work. They're probably not going to have to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the thing.
That's
but,
true, too.
But if you're going to college, you're going to get, and you're an athlete, you're going to go get a free education. I mean, there's kids that would kill for that.
Exactly. The value of education has taken a complete back seat in today's society. But, hey, thanks a lot, Mike. Appreciate your call, man. Matt, Throwback Thursday, brother. What do we got on this Thursday, March 6th? Well, I can't say 2014 because these are way back in the day. But, yeah, what happened on this Thursday in sports?
Well, we'll start out on March 6th, 1922. Babe Ruth signs a 3-year contract with the New York Yankees at $52,000 a year. Seemed steep back then, but I think in retrospect, the Yankees are pretty happy they made that deal.
Yeah, without a doubt.
It's nice when you sign the greatest player ever. right. 1964, it is announced that Cassius Clay will change his name to Muhammad Ali.
How about that?
On February 26th, he changed his name to Cassius X while he was kind of in flux, and then Elijah Muhammad renamed him Muhammad Ali today, March 6th, 1964. 1972, Jack Nicklaus passed Arnold Palmer as golf's all-time money winner, although I think Palmer probably still has him beat in terms of just net worth. yeah, from his drink.
Those Arizona iced teas,
that's
baby.
Tough. Oh, I mean, he's getting big checks for that.
It upsets me, though, when people don't know who Arnold Palmer the golfer is. I bring up Arnold Palmer, and my cousin's like,
that's
oh,
delicious.
Yeah, that's a great drink. Right. No, brother, come on, man. All right.
I'm sure he doesn't mind.
He doesn't mind at
all. I'm sure he's
racking in the dough right now.
He's counting his money. He's too busy counting his money. All right, 1973, Larry Hissel of the Minnesota Twins became baseball's first designated hitter. The spring training exhibition game was against the Pittsburgh Pirates. 1982, the NBA made history when San Antonio beat Milwaukee 171-166 in three overtime periods, which set the record for most points by two teams in a game.
Wow.
That record would be broken December 13th, 1983, by the Detroit Pistons when they played against the Denver Nuggets. Hmm. Also a triple overtime game that ended 186-184.
My goodness, that's a
not
high
a lot
score.
Of defense.
Not at all.
Not a lot of defense. Ooh, all right. 1983, the USFL began its first season of pro football competition, one of the long line of, you know, competitive leagues that are, you know, fighting with the NFL for exposure and ultimately got crushed by the NFL.
Mm-hmm. NFL runs everything.
Rest in peace, USFL. All right, number seven here. Oh, it's one of the most iconic boxers of all time. He made a personal milestone.
The professional debut of Mike Tyson in the white trunks against Hector Mercedes. We're in the Plaza Convention Center, Albany, and this is not going to take too long. We're in round one. Mercedes already in trouble. He is going down. Is he? These big swinging hooks to the body from Tyson. And if that is it in round one, that is a pretty impressive professional debut from the man who so nearly went to the Olympics in Los Angeles last year. He didn't. He's decided to turn pro instead.
What a debut. What a Mike Tyson was just one of the greatest boxers ever, man. I mean, he was intimidating, dude. Oh, my goodness. How about that?
What a nice, you know, story that Hector Mercedes can tell for the rest of his life.
Right. I got knocked out by Mike
first. I was
first.
The first knockout for Mike Tyson.
Right. That's crazy,
that
man.
Is pretty cool.
And he knocked him out just like that.
First round.
Oh, boy.
Yikes. Bright future for that guy. 1994, Colin Jackson of Great Britain runs a world record 60-meter hurdles in 7.30 seconds. That record still stands today. That is quick. Probably faster than I read that he ran the 60 meters. And last but not least, it's Shaq's birthday today.
It's Shaq. Happy birthday, Shaq.
The Shaqtus turns 42. That's my favorite of Shaq's nicknames. What is yours?
Oh, man. Oh, gosh. That's a tough question. Let me think about that. We got some time. Let's see. Shaqtus is really, really good.
I loved the Shaqtus.
I like Sacramento right now.
Sacramento's pretty good.
I'm digging Sacramento. He's had so many, man. I'm going to go with Sacramento. I have to do some research because there's been so many. I'm going with Sacramento. He's taking in the rivalry that the Lakers had with the Kings, and now he's
taking
over. You
mean the Sacramento
Queens?
Queens.
They're the Kings. I know, it's classic stuff. Shaq, happy birthday, man. One of the most iconic personalities in sports. All right, thanks so much to all of you for tuning in to today's Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing. I'm going to remind you that to watch Current Sports TV tonight. That's right, get to your TV and pop some popcorn as I sit down with Joey Eisenman of the Snap Program and Fitness Center here in Lansing, Michigan. Don't want to miss that. That's 10 p.m. on WKAR TV. As always, take care. Have a fantastic day. And be easy, people.